Amen. Amen. So, I just get set up.
Sorry.
Feel like you're choking me out, Anton.
So firstly, Warren.
One thing as I got to know you, I realized you got an incredible amount of dad jokes. And I'm sure the church knows that. But thanks for leading so well. I'm not gonna. You led well, brother. And the worship was amazing for the worship team. And so in South Africa, Kim said, Joe, is your preacher ready? I'm like, bro, I don't even know the guys yet. And when I got here, Anton said, Joe, is your preacher ready? I said, I want to get to know the guys. I want to see how they watch Springbok games. Hey, Anton? And so I was just praying last night. And so I got a few things. It might not be like a normal preach. It's really just sharing heart. I don't know what I'm feeling for you guys. So I'm Elden Josh Jin, Cape Town. My son Jordan's here. I don't know where's your Daisy. I mean, you're the rest of the team, Kim, Keenan. Keenan was in Anton and Anlin's comm when he got saved. When he got saved, right? And so there's lots of fruit. So obviously I know Anton and Anlin quite well. I got lots of stories. But I've been told that Anton has told all the stories already. So I'm actually going to share something that Anton doesn't know. So the first time I met Anton, we had a lead elder called Lucas. We had at that stage, we had one morning congregation. We multiplied now. And we met myself, Lucas, and Merv. I'm not sure where. I can't remember who else was there. So can we just meet with this guy? Shame. There's stuff like he needs help. So I'm like, okay, I'll come. And I'm like, now Merv got a relationship with him. Merv's his friend. Like, Merv's the one that's connected with him a lot. And Lucas is there for the big business brain stuff. So we're good. So I'll just come. So we got there, some burger joint that Anton said we should go to in Sea Point. So we're all hanging around there. Everyone's happy, chatting. We're waiting for Anton. He's a bit late. He was on site. We're waiting. The guys are looking at the menus. But then I noticed something changed in the guys. The excitement started dropping and the countenance changed. It dropped. And I was like, what's going on? Like, what happened was Anton booked or told us to go to a vegan burger joint. So the guys are looking at the menus. Okay, there's all the lettuce gone. There's all the soya burgers. There's all the, where's the other menu? No, that's it. So when Anton came in, the guys were angry. So Anton was like, what's going on? I'm like, no, we're not angry at you. The guys are not angry, they're angry. And as we said in that meeting, I remember we were going through a lot of stuff, a lot of spreadsheets. And Anton was showing documents, and I can't even remember what about all this stuff, the problems, the issues that had to be processed. And I remember as I was listening, I looked at Anton, he wasn't actually looking up much. Every time when someone spoke to him, then he'd look up, but then he'd look down again. And I remember Lord told me that, and that's why I was actually crying in worship. And I'm not a crier, I'm one of the few non-criers left in Josh Jin. I cry on the inside. No, but it's okay. It's okay. Worship's done. And I remember the Lord told me, help my son to love these guys. And when I walked away, we got in the car. Lucas said, what do you think? What do you think? How did it go? And then Lucas said, would you mind walking with him? And I said, the Lord already told me to walk with him. And it wasn't, and when I first started meeting with him, the first coffee we had, he came with a lot of stuff on his phone. Here's my spreadsheet. Here's what I'm trying to do. It was a mess. It was a mess. But I remember after the first one or two coffees, we put like a plan in place. Here's the next steps. I mean, you can't control much.
We had a plan, but most of the coffees was reminding him who he was. And I remember sitting in those coffees, and he came with, oh, we need to sort of this, we need to sort of that. Most of it was what the Lord had in his life. And as we were doing that, and as we got together, as I got to know his wife and his family, and he shared stories of his family past, his present, they served in church, the gifting. At the time, the Lord took them through a lot. I remember in the beginning stages, life happened. Do people know when life happens? And it was, there was a heaviness on him. And I remember slowly lifting. And I remember we brought him onto deaconship. And they were incredible communities. Yo, they loved it. They loved the people. Even in the struggle, they were still in a fight. And I remember we went to speak to them about coming onto deaconship. Annalyn thought it was eldership, but that's another. She misheard. And you know, normally when you, I don't know if you do it here, but when you bring on new deacons, new elders, you put their fix up like you did today. And you say, if you got any concern, any, you send it through. You guys know about that? And normally that's like, it's just for the sake of doing it. But for Anton, I've lived my life. That's how we relate this. And it really was, but it was all practical stuff. And I had, I spoke to quite a few elders at the process. And the first thing they asked was, oh, this they need to be sorted out, that need to be sorted out. And I said, we're working on it. It's a work in progress. But I said, his heart is ready and unwilling are ready for the Lord has. And it wasn't a back and forth. The teams in Josh Jen, we understand kingdom. We understand that I didn't have to convince them. They just wanted an assurance that do we know about these things. And I said, I know. But we don't look with natural eyes, right? We don't look at people's past, but we look at what the Lord has for them.
Yes.
And when I came here on this trip, I would say it was the first time I think I saw Anton truly free. Honestly. Truly free with that weight lifted and the joy that came.
Yes, thank you.
And I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you guys as much as they've been a blessing to you. I want to thank you for blessing them.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for looking after them. And I go home with good tidings to my wife. Well, she's asked, like, just check up on Anton and then check on Anev, he's another elder in Josh Jen, Harare. And that's all she was, like, just check on my people. And I can go back and say, yo, they're in the plan and the purposes of God right here. And they're walking in freedom right here. And I do believe that this is a time for all of you. I think I'll go to that first. Now, who's the AV guy? What's your name? What's his name? AV laptop, bro. Donovan. Donovan, can you put the last scripture up that you got there, please? On the start at the end. I'll give it to you now. Not yet. It is Esther 4:13-14. It's the last one, I think. No, Esther. Esther 4:13-14. Next one. They sing the whole preach now. There. Okay. So let's just read this. He sent back the answer. Do not think because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. Carry on. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your house and your whole family and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And that word to Esther was in the royal family. She was the queen. And she was starting to enjoy being in the royal family. And she had forgotten that it was a purpose that she had. And Mordecai told her, remember why you are here. Because if you do not walk in what the Lord has for you, the Lord will raise up others. The Lord's hands isn't tied. The purposes of God will still be fulfilled. But will you walk in it? And he reminded her, I have called you. I have placed you in this place for such time as this. And I believe that for this congregation, for this church, all the words that have come right now, that is a breaking open, there's a release that's coming. The Lord has called you to such a time as this. And will you step into it? The words that have come now, there's an advance, be strong, bold and courageous. You know what talk is that? That is taking the land talk. That was God told Joshua when they had to take the land. Be strong and courageous. Be bold. And that is advancing kingdom talk. And I believe the Lord has such a plan for this congregation. That you guys are going to be a model of an authentic New Testament church in this region. And more than that, you will be a base church. You will be a church where guys will come in, get equipped. Everyone right here right now will grow up in this place, get equipped for the things of the kingdom. People will flow in and flow out. The nations will come and see what is going on here to learn. And I say these things not as someone that is, oh, in theory, I've been part of a base church. I'm still part of a base church. And I'm just going to share a bit about how it started for me. And I can just check, keep time for me, please, man. Just let me know when there's 5 minutes left and I'll end. Because I got a lot of things. Don't let your watch break, eh? Shame, the people need to eat. I remember when I got saved. So I've got a Catholic background and a Hindu background. I know it's a strange combination. So I went to the Catholic church. Growing up, I was an altar boy. The church looked very much like this church, actually. Like this building. And on my mother's side, I would go to the Hindu temple with my cousins. Not really as a religious thing, but to eat the food, as you do. To eat all the nice desserts. It was amazing. But I didn't learn much about the spiritual world at the Catholic Church, funnily enough. It was very dry, very boring to me. There was no life for me. I'm not knocking the Catholic Church, that was me. And then when I went to the temple, we went for sometimes I go for ceremonies because they had better food on the days of ceremonies. And I would see manifestations. Now I know it's manifestations, but I would see things. There I would see people's faces change to like the face of monkeys. And I saw that. I would see guys with supernatural strength. I would see all these things and like, yo, there's power here. But there wasn't God's power. So I always had understanding that there is a spiritual realm because I've seen it. Every 3 months, just to get refreshed again. You know, sometimes you feel a bit dirty and then you need to go to church just to feel good. So I'd go to church once every 3 months, definitely in Christmas and all Easter and all the holidays. And then my wife got saved at, she was 29. And I went to church with her, with my kids, just out of, I don't want to go alone with the kids. I got saved there. The Lord grabbed my heart. I saw a lot of miracles. Jordan is a walking miracle in some healing the Lord's done in him. I saw most of my, in the next 6 months, I saw most of my family get saved. We led them to the Lord. I've seen the power of God. But I was in that church for 1 year. And it was a church that they spoke about being born again. You learned the word, but we never lived it. And I got to a place of frustration and disillusionment. And we left that church and we said, we're going to start looking for churches. And in my mind, I was like, we're going to take a break for 6 months. Like, let's take it easy and then we'll get back on the wagon, you know. My wife was like, if you know my wife, like, she's a firebrand for God. Like, she's on fire. She was like, we're going next Sunday. I'm like, can we get the fuse? No, we're going next Sunday. And we started looking at churches. We went to Josh Jen. Unfortunately, they were closed that Sunday. I don't know what was going on. We kept on looking, we tried again, and they were open. And we came to that church, and this is the base church I'm talking about. It was the church out of which all the other Josh Jens were planted out of. That was the root church, the base church.
People were coming into that church to come and see, from the nations eventually, to come and see what is authentic New Testament church. But I never knew what I was in. And I was really disillusioned with the church. I came in, and when I looked at the church as I walked in, and I'm being vulnerable with you guys, I walked in and I looked, and I'm like, wow, this is a white church, eh? It's really. I'm like, where's my people? I'm like, where's my people? There was one other colored couple. There was one African couple. I'm like, but now, but what is it like? So in my mind, I'm like, I'm done. We're not going to land here. But we'll come to the service. We'll do the whole thing. So we sat in the service. Andrew Silly preached an incredible word. I had a lot of issues with. It was all true, but I had a lot of issues with. The people were, you know, the people, you know, have you ever had people that's too touchy? They were very huggy, asking questions. I don't know you. Why are you like asking too much questions? Inviting me. I don't know you yet. Give me a while. They're inviting me to stuff. Come for lunch. I just meet you. I'm like, I need time. My wife was like, we can go. I said, whoa. We don't know these people. And for the next while, the second Sunday we went, and I knew about tithes, kind of. I'm Catholic. I knew about collections. You know, you just see how much money you got in your wallet and you put it in. That was tithing to me. And then I spoke about tithing the second Sunday being 10%. And I was like, I did the math in my head. I was like, I need to find a cheaper church. I need to find a cheaper church. Like, I'm not sure this is, I'm not, the more I'm in this church, the more I'm like, this is not for me. This is definitely not for me. But the more I was like, it's not for me, the more my wife was like, oh, I can feel the Lord here. I'm like, what? I said, we need to be one. We weren't one. But anyway, I just kept on going because of her. And I was in a church for 2 years. I was last in, first out. And then I go sit in the car with the kids. And then 10 minutes later, wife isn't still coming. Get back into the church. Where are you? Go break through the crowd. Come, we need to go. And that was how it went every Sunday. I went to church quite regularly. And I thought, yo, you're doing well, Joe. You're doing well. You're only missing maybe one Sunday a month. I went to come at least every second Wednesday. Because if you miss three consecutive comms thing for somebody, three consecutive, you get a call. Three consecutive comms, you get a call. But if you miss every second one, you'll be okay. People are, no, he's okay. There's a little bit of something, a little bit of life. And I did that for 2 years. I never really gave myself to it. And this is the thing about walking in the kingdom. It's an all or nothing thing, walk. And I had one foot in, one foot out. There's actually a story I got off. We had a stove at one of our, like an oven stove thing at one of our homes. And all the plates, the way they worked is 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 was off. Wouldn't go on. 8 was, it would go on. So when my mother cooked on that thing with my wife, we're like, I hate this thing because it only works on full. Everything in between doesn't work. And the kingdom's like that. It only works on 8. Only works on 8. I don't know what we say, what? Revum in the Roy? Is that, yeah? It's like kind of what Anton does with that little kumbi thing he drives around with. And, but because I was half-hearted, I was lukewarm. In 2 years, I didn't really build real relationships. I had, how's it going, brother? I had, I'll pop in here, pop into a event there, but I wasn't really part of family. And eventually I couldn't take it. The only reason I was in that church for 2 years is because I wasn't sure what my wife would do if I told her we need to leave. I'm not so sure. But then I got to the point of I was tired of wearing a mask. You know, it's tiring to be in a place where you don't feel you should be part of. And I got tired of wearing a mask. And then my wife, the day I was going to tell her, I was actually, funnily enough, I pulled out my Bible. I was in the lounge, just going through it. And the Lord took me to Revelation 3. And he speaks to the church of Sardis. And he says, you have a reputation for being alive. But I know the truth, you're dead.
Sure.
And that was the truth because they asked me to be a comm leader even. And I was like, I'm not ready. I'm too busy. But actually, in my heart, I was like, I'm dead. I don't want to be here.
And then, but it goes on to say, gather what remains, there's still something. Come alongside those that love the Lord. But it said it was a warning, if not, I will come like a thief in the night. And you will not know when. And then after that, it says, wake up. And when I read that part, it says, wake up. It was like the Spirit of God had blown life into my heart. It's like I just had a heart exchange. And from that day, I told the Lord, I will run with the things that you have for me and the things of the kingdom. And I've never stopped. I've never wavered. And it's not something I've done. It's the work of God. And I encourage you, if you're feeling disconnected in any way, cry out to God. Cry out to God to change your heart. If you did it in me, I was terrible. You can do it in you. Amen?
Amen.
So, so I just want to say just on that thing that I didn't recognize that I was in this base church. I didn't see the move of God, even though there was a move of God. And I want to say, if you're sitting here today, you might be like, what move of God? You might feel disconnected. You might actually feel dry this morning. But I want to say, do not miss what the Lord is doing.
Yes.
You get to be part of this right now.
Yes.
You get to take hold of it. Do whatever it takes to step into what it is. You know, the biggest challenge with the church in this day and age is that we get comfortable with playing church. We want to walk in comfort. I said at the leaders' time that we need to be a comfort-resistant people, and people didn't know what I was talking about. That meant don't be comfortable. We are called to walk in purpose. We are called to walk with the purposes of God, to walk with the eternal things, with eternity in mind. That is what God's people are called to walk in, not in the natural. And I just want to encourage you, know that for such a time as this, the Lord has called you.
Yeah.
And it's greater than yourself, the purpose and the call is greater than yourself. The kingdom will advance through each and every one of you, if you give yourselves completely to the Lord and to each other. Let me speed up. So the church is essentially this, it's a rhythm of mending nets and casting nets. And what I mean by that is, mending nets is there's holes in the nets. Every church I know, there's holes. Every single church. Most of it is relational issues. Most of the letters stood in the New Testament Paul wrote was relational issues. Jew against Gentile. Father against son. Master against slave. Brother against brother. And he said the Lord came to tear down every wall that separates. And even Jordan had a word earlier that he feels the Lord has torn down a wall on Wednesday. But that's going to not mean anything unless you actually cross the divide. Unless you actually say, Lord, everything that hinders me, everything that boxes me in, I must step out of it. And I'll say, this is going to be a two-way thing. If it's relational, it's going to be a two-way thing. Both sides need to step into it. Both sides. I met with, honestly, I mean, I got like 10 minutes left, and then I'll. So, I met with this family, myself, Jordan, and Keenan, yesterday. They moved back to Zimbabwe. They're from, they were in our church, they were in our comm. Kutsi, which was the son, he grew up, he was actually born. His mom was pregnant with him in our comm. He grew up in the comm, in the church, and he's going to high school next year. His brother is still in South Africa studying in university. He's still in our church. He's like a family member. And then she actually came through to Marandera from Harare to see us, just to spend time with us. And her family, her father lives here, so she went to go see them also. But that is family. Mama, you want to come up? So I'm shocked to see this lady here. Come on. So Mama is actually not in our congregation anymore. So we were one Sunningdale morning congregation, and then when we multiplied into two, she ended up on the bed. Not on the other one. On the other one.
Yes,
huh?
On the other one.
And then when I looked on the round, I saw, here's Mama sitting.
Yeah.
And I just was wondering, what are you doing here?
I visited my family at Saturday, near Ten Miles. So I heard that there's a church here. I know there's a church here where Annalene and his husband come here. So I just tell Tracy when I was in Cape Town, I said, when I go home, I don't want to miss Sundays. I'm going to miss here in Cape Town, but there is a church there. I'm going to go there. Yeah. So I came here. I go to another. There's another church with this name. So I go there. It was not that one. So I was walking around, running, because I was thinking you start at 9. But I managed to come. I thank God so much. Yeah. And God is real. God is real. I saw it on my life. We have to pray to God all the time. Yeah. It changes my life.
Thank you.
I was not like this. But now my life is very, very good.
Amen.
I was poor, suffering, but now He's providing everything for me and my daughter and my grandchild.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mama. So now, Mama, from our congregation in Sunningdale, a daughter, Tracy, a grandson, and she found her way here. And she's only here for a month holiday. How long? 1 month. End of the month, she's going back. But why did she come here? Because we're family.
Yeah.
Why did Shelter come from Harare to come to us? It's just to see us. And my wife said, you better make a plan to see her also, because now she's doing it. So I'd have to make a plan. When she said she's coming, I was, thank you, Lord. I was wondering, how am I getting to Harare? But that's family, right?
Yeah.
That's real family. That's not the church thing that, oh, well, if you're not in church, oh, well, you're in another country, you're in another province, oh, well. I will do whatever it takes to connect with each other because we are family.
Yes.
Right, Mama?
Yes.
And I'm going to say that Psalm, can you put up Psalm 68:6? God says the lonely into families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, while the rebellious live in the sun-scorched land. And that's a double-edged word there, right? He leads the lonely into family and makes them walk in freedom, those that were prisoners. Now, one of the words that came also with the thing that happened on Wednesday is that there's been a chain that's been increased, you found a greater freedom, but that thing's actually going to be broken right now. And you guys are going to run with a greater freedom. And I want to say that be connected into family. Be family. Be family, don't just be church. Because when you are that in that place, find the freedom of God. But if you're just coming and you've got walls up and there's walls of separation, you're not where Jesus wants you to be. You are in the sun, scorched land. It's a dry place. Okay. Skip that. No one asks you that. Like, do you have any do you have any friends? If you take the past year, because I always used to do things like this. Take the past year. Have you got new friends and people you've drawn in your circle? You know, there was a man called Mephibosheth. Anthony, you want to try to say it? Okay.
All right.
And he was Jonathan's son. Jonathan was Saul's son. And when David came to became king and Saul died and Jonathan died, normally what happens is the whole family gets taken out when a new king comes in place. So Mephibosheth was on the run and he hid in a place called Lidaba. And that place means a dry place. And he was hiding there and David said, I want to bless. I want to call back Jonathan's people, but he only had one son. And they searched for him, and the soldiers looked for him, and they knocked on the door where he was, and he opened the door, and he was full of fear. What does David's soldiers want here? And the soldier said, come with me. And he went to David, and David said, I'm going to restore everything that you've lost, everything of your father's house. And then he said, you're going to sit at my table. You know, the first day you came to the king's courts, Imagine him walking in and everyone's, all the court, the tables that are far away is the people on the outer courts, closer tables. And then the main table is where the king's son sit. And Mephibosheth comes that should have been killed, but grace came to his house. And he walks in and he sits at David's table with the sons. And he sits as a son in the house. And I say, as people come into this church, this is who you want to show them. You want to show them grace. You want to draw them in. You want them to say, come and sit. It's not like we need to check you out. It's not like we have to do some tattoo removals. It's not like we need to see what's your past. No, no, we're going to draw people in as they step in by grace. They might, because they deserve death. But Jesus said, there can be a son in ours. And I'd encourage you that it was one day each and every one of us, including me, walked into the house for the first time. I didn't deserve anything. And people were huggy and inviting and poured out grace and tried to draw me into family. A base church is a church that draws people into family.
Come on, that's so good.
Amen. And then I was going to talk about obedience. So can you put up Joshua 6, 3 to 5? Donovan, you are in your, this is, as they're going into the promised land, this is what God tells Joshua. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to say to the march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can, then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. Is that all I gave you? And then the walls came down. Now, does that sound like a good plan to you? So they come to the Jericho, they need to take the promised land. Remember, this is their second try. The first try, the word Jordan brought, they came from Israel, from Egypt into the desert. Desert was a place of transition, not where they belonged, but they became comfortable there. They had manna, they were fed, and they didn't have courage and boldness for the fight ahead. And they didn't want to take the next thing the Lord had for them. And I see so many times we get to a place where we are comfortable. We are getting a little bit of something from God, but we are not willing to take the next step, to take the land, to take the thing that the Lord has given you personally and corporately. And I believe that in this season, there's going to be a lot of personal taking, things that you've challenged, been challenged by, walls that have been up, land that is there to be taken. But when your heart is, God, you are bigger than the giants in the land and the obstacles I face, the Lord is going to give it to you. And I'm going to say, so the first time they tried it, they had no faith. Joshua and Caleb was like, we can take it. Our God is bigger. The rest were, there's giants in the land. And fear triumphed over faith. And the Lord said, because of your lack of faith, you'll be in the desert for 40 years. A lot of people think they were lost for 40 years. They didn't have Google Maps. No. They weren't lost. They went to the, God said they will not enter in for 40 years. God said until that generation dies out, the generation that had no faith, they will not enter in. And when you see dead churches, it's a church that has lost its faith and is caught in a place of transition, which is not where they belong. They should have just been passing through. And I want to just encourage this church to not be caught in places of transition, places the Lord meant for you to go through and not to settle in. And the problem is that we, by default, we are in our nature, we are comfort-seeking people. And we want to settle when the Lord said, my people are on the move. Because we are spirit-led people. Amen?
Come on.
Amen. My last one? No, I can't believe I got it. An obedience. And for Anton, I feel that even in that, the way the plan to take down the wall. Like, I'm not a general or army guy, right? But that don't sound like a good plan to me. The word says that the gates were locked, the walls were high. That city was in lockdown. And God gave them the plan. Here's what we're going to do. And gooi around the thing. See, it's like we bring what? Ring a rose. You know what that means here? Go around the thing and then it's all going to fall down? No. It didn't sound like a good plan. And I've watched enough Lord of the Rings to know that you need to be ramming that door, you need to be going catapulting things against, shooting arrows of fire, doing something. But I've never seen people go around a wall and a wall come down. I've never heard a trumpet blast and people worshipping and praising and the wall coming down. And I think in the season, and I've seen it in our congregation, in our church, Anton, be brave and courageous to lead your people into things that are, and into the things the Lord has called you to. That's going to seem like, doesn't look like a good plan. It's like, what are we going to do? Going to go around? I don't even know. Like, I'm not convinced. How am I going to convince the people? Everything is going to be, obedience is a thing of, I don't understand it. If you're not obedient, if you're only obedient in the things that you understand, you will never leave the place of transition. We don't understand everything. We don't know every plan. And if Anton's going to, and Annalene's going to lead you there, then can you as a people be, Lord, I'm going to be obedient, even if I don't understand. Because if you have to understand everything, you're never going to walk in everything the Lord has for you. And even in that thing, and I might land there, I remember the first time the Lord started teaching, because one of the things I know Anton and Annalene wants is they're going to start building their kingdom values and continually build it, one step at a time, one block at a time. It's going to be different for everybody. One kingdom value at a time. I remember when I got saved, I was struggling in debt. My credit cards had credit cards. You know what that means. You take out a credit card to sort out a credit card. It's like credit card inception. And then you get a credit card, but they send you a letter. Oh, you can get for 100,000 rand. You take, get that card to sort out that card to sort out that card. So my credit card had credit cards, right? And I remember, oh, how are we going to get out of this? And I remember praying, and the Lord showed me a way to get out of it. So I started doing it, and it was working. So I remember I saved up my first 5,000 rand. At that end of that month, I'm going to pay that in. And the Lord showed me there was this guy that was in the church from DRC, from the Congo. And his name was Jean, and we'd connect and give him a lift to come, and we'd get together whenever. And he tell me he's saving up actually to go home. He doesn't want to be in South Africa anymore. He feels the Lord's calling him home. So I say, how much are you saving? How much do you have? He says, it's going to cost 5,000 rand, but he's saving like 100 rand a month. So it's going to take him like 4 years to get enough money. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, shame, man. Yeah, it's going to take, that's a long time to wait, but hey, what are you going to do? But in my heart, as I was driving away, I was like, that 5,000 rand. So I got home, I went to Tanya, and I said, Shane, man, Sean, he needs 5,000 rand to go to the DRC, to go back home. I said, on his heart. And she's like, really? She's like, no, it's okay, you can give that 5,000 rand. I'm like, I didn't say we're giving... I was giving you information. I wasn't asking a question. I don't know. And when he said that, I was like, now let me say, my wife is very generous. She is like Oprah, right? You get a prize. You get a prize. I'm generous with my family that time, but I'm not that such a generous person. And I remember telling the Lord, you're not Lord. You can teach me about the value of hospitality and being generous in the kingdom. But right now, you know what? We are in a season, Lord. We are in the dead slaying season. We are killing the dead demon. We and you, Lord. We in this thing. That's for another time. And then I was thinking that. And the Lord said, give that money. And I gave it to him. And he was tears of joy. He went home. But I remember the blessing that came out of that thing. And the Lord showed me something. And the Lord built a value of generosity in me. And so all these things you're talking about, the next step, the next value, the next thing, it's not going to come easy. It's going to take obedience. It's going to cost you something. I can tell you the cost for Annalene and for Anton and Annalene being here wasn't easy. It wasn't cheap. It's going to cost you. Are you willing to pay that price? Anton, how much time? Like 5 minutes, maybe? How much time? 5. And the last thing is, be a church on mission. Be a church on mission. The Great Commission. Go out into all the world. Go out into the nations, making disciples, baptizing them. That is what each and everyone has been called to. And I say, have you? And these are things I always use to hold the word as a mirror up to me. When last did I share the gospel? Not lead someone to the Lord. When last did I just share the gospel with those around me? Invite someone to church. Last Sunday, we had like 4 salvations. They were all visitors. None of them live in our area. People that work with him, work colleagues, whatever, invited him to church. They got saved. They're not going to stay by us. We're going to plant him. We'll try to get him connected into other churches, not our church, not our congregation. This is not about growing our thing. It's about the kingdom advancing. And I said, can we all have that heart? There's a man, a leader, elder called Conrad Foslu. He used to be in a congregation with us. Like you know, if you're based church, almost look 5 years later, nobody's left. So Conroy is in another church. He's leading a church in Wellington. He's planted a church. And I remember he told us a story once when he got saved and he had such a heart for the lost, and he still does. He invited this guy to church. The guy said, he's coming. So he said, no, I'm going to pick you up. He went to his house, his flat, the guy not answering. Guy sleeping, not answering his phone. So he's like, a normal person would do what? Go to church. No. So he's looking, how can I get in? So he sees one of the windows slightly ajar. So guys, I don't know how the legal thing works here, the police. He opens the window slightly and he can squeeze through. So he squeezed through the window. And he goes into the brother's apartment. Guys, the Lord must do this. He goes to his bedroom. Hey, Tuti. The brother wakes up. So what's wrong? I said, no, we're going to church. Did you oversleep? No, I said, I come, get in the shower. Come, come, I'm waiting in the lounge. The guy woke up. Guy was like, afterwards he told him I was not planning to come. I thought, got him to church, went to church, he got saved that day. Now that is a heart for doing whatever it takes. Hopefully things that will not get you locked up. But it is a heart for doing whatever it takes. And I say, have a heart for the lost. If you've lost, Kim shared last week, if you've lost the love and the heart for the lost, you've lost the heart for Jesus and his purposes. And if you don't have that, say, Lord, come and help me.
So good.
Amen. So we're landing there. I want to encourage you guys on... And encourage you guys, everything I shared today, I prayed for you guys last night. I really felt that was what the Lord asked me to share with this church, with this congregation, with this people. Do not miss what the Lord is going to do in this season. What you do, if you posture yourself right, if you give yourself fully to this, if you tear down every dividing wall, if you reach out, like David reached out to the last person he should have reached out to. If you look in this church, I used to do that when I was a saint in the church. I still do it. And I say, who's the person I feel the most uncomfortable with? Who's the person when I see them, I'm like a bit strange? Who's the person that feels the furthest from me? I'm going to go to that person. Because then I know it's God, right? And I'm going to invite them in. It's going to be awkward. I'm going to try to push in. And it's not always going to work. It's a two-way thing. But I've built so many relationships by going to the furthest person. The lady I spoke about that I met with, her husband never came to church. I had many coffees with him. I invited him to church events. He came, but he never settled. It's a two-way thing. It's a choice. And I think even in this church, there's the dividing walls have come down, but it's a two-way thing to cross. Both sides need to step over. Anything that divides age, race, culture, hobbies, way of life, socioeconomic conditions, step over those lines. You won't be a sticky person. Jesus said that my people will be united in love.
Yeah.
The devil wants you to be divided and conflicted. Who do you want to follow? So with all eyes closed and heads bowed.